This is great. Well, it's Jimmy Doan Show here, podcasting once again this August 7th.
Woohoo!
Day after Hiroshima. This is good. That's right. Sunday, August 7th. This is great.
It happened yesterday.
Yeah. Yes, it happened yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay, this is where we get sued, right? No, this is Yeah, we hope. That's right. We're hoping to get sued.
Yeah. Well, right.
Well, when they take the music out, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
If any of the characters on this show have anything in common with anybody in real life, it's because we're ripping you off.
That's right. That's right. Let me put it this way. The opinions expressed in this show are exactly those of the people here, number one. Totally to be blamed, number one. And if you hear not coincidence, but any similarity to persons living or dead is absolutely not coincidental. And if you hear anything on here that you've heard before, it's because we ripped it off. We have no shame here. No shame. We'll rip everybody off. And hoping to get sued.
In fact, if you want to get ripped off, please go ahead and write
it. Oh, that's right. Email Jimmy at jimmydoan.com.
That's right. Our opinions are subject to change every day.
That's right. That's right. We say we have no opinions. Well, actually, we do have opinions. But,
right.
But like you say, they're subject to change.
That's right.
We're still learning. We're on the learning curve. So anyway, we're doing the podcast today. Jimmy Doan. And we have here Jack Rhodes.
Hey, how's it going?
And Curtis.
Hey.
And our engineer,
Eric,
good.
And he's in the other room, though.
Yes, right. Yeah,
we think. Podcast, got to love the technology.
Oh, there's some more information in today's paper. I'm not sure. I haven't had a chance to. I actually woke up today at the crack of noon. Haven't had a chance to read the paper yet.
We're reaching the kids now.
That's right.
Everybody's got the iPod.
Boy, isn't that the truth. Well, I finally.
Except me.
You don't have an iPod.
No, I don't have an iPod.
How come?
I don't have an iPod.
Yeah, you don't have it.
It doesn't record.
No, that's right.
Because I'm on the iPod. And I don't need an iPod. Yes.
Well, I'll tell you, they are. I went and bought one. I had, of course, you know, being the gadget king that I am.
You?
Always ahead of the curve.
Always. Well, yeah. Not always ahead of the curve, but I. Yeah, no. I'm impulse buy.
Early adopter?
Well, impulse buy king, I can tell you that. There's no question about it. And especially if you don't have to pay for this stuff.
For 17 months,
that's right. Well, I went over yesterday. In fact, I went over to Radio Shack yesterday to buy a cable. I had $14.95 in my pocket and walked out with a new camera.
it cost more than $14.95, didn't it?
No, this
Radio
camera.
Shack, is that one of our sponsors?
Yes. Well, they will be.
All right, yeah.
Anyway, I bought this little thing. It's cute as a button. It's interesting. Two things. It's a little Olympus, 4 megapixel. It uses a little
digital camera. Huh?
Digital camera, right? So I had to own this for some reason. It comes with all the scenery, all the scenes in the world.
It looks pretty small.
It is very small.
It's so tiny
and blue, apparently.
Well, is that blue or that's kind of very, very navy blue? We call that black.
Well, with all this. All this fancy studio lighting we have in here.
Oh, that's true. That's right. Oh, that's right. We're gonna put pictures of the studio on the website.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yes, cool. We're going to have pictures of the studio. This is actually a very professional studio, all available from another soon-to-be sponsor, Sam Ash.
Well, we better water the plants then.
Yeah, that's right.
You need to vacuum up. Let's move.
That's right. That's right. That's right. They're going to take one look at the studio here and,
all those pretty cables, though. That's great.
We don't photograph the floor. Right, maybe we should just photograph.
I was talking about the walls.
Oh, the walls. That's right. No, we went down. It's amazing, though, when you think about it. Went down to Sam Ash and got... What did we get? We got a mixer,
yep,
and some microphones and a whole bunch of neat stuff. It was about $2,500 for a complete professional, super professional.
$2,500, including the laptop.
Oh, so you paid them? You paid them?
No. Paid? No. Wrong again. No,
it's just on loan.
No, it's 18.
So I can use this for a little while.
It's 18 months, same as cash.
Same as cash. Free T-shirt, right?
No, actually,
God, they didn't give us.
You
a
know
that's
unbelievable.
That's scum.
You know, you borrow all that equipment from them.
Well, that's right.
And they can't even give you a T-shirt.
It seems little enough to ask maybe when we get on vodcasting, you know, when I do our video casting, we'll get the official. Or else they'll want to put a blue, a blue fuzzball over our face, you know, like they did for the rape victim. You know, they don't want to make sure we're not. we're not on the air.
So Sam Ash treated you right, though.
Oh, yeah, it was great. Brad was down there, and he's known, remembered us from years ago. And but we think about this. This is like $200,000 worth of stuff 20 years ago, and it's, you know, $2,000 this year. And
if you pay for it.
Well, that's right. But again, it's, you know, it was 100. It was like 18 months, same as cash.
Sam Ash credit card.
You bet.
Gotta love it.
Gotta love it. And then all the official discounts. And so I figure in about 17 months, we'll take all the stuff back. Say it's no good.
hello. This thing's not on. What's going on? It didn't work at all.
Yeah, it didn't work at all. This is one of the things. It's the same.
There's a Jimmy Dome billboard behind him on the podcasting network.
That's right. So, no, well, what we do is this is the same thing that I do in the restaurants. Of course, what you do is you go to the restaurant and you order up a big, fat, you know, 1-pound hamburger.
Right.
You eat half. And send the other half back and tell them it's swill. And you want more money back.
If you have the big cojones.
That's right. You have to have the cojones. Oh, well, we remember the cojones, don't you?
Yeah, Eric? Yeah.
We had, this is a great little story. Do you mind if I tell it?
No, go right ahead.
We digress.
That's right. Well, this is what podcasting is all about. We were traveling in California, and this was several years ago when Denny's, soon to be another sponsor, they had a deal where they put a little egg timer on your table. And if they didn't get the, do you remember this? And if they didn't get the food to you before the egg timer ran out, it was free. So what we did is we sat there and we ordered, and we made a critical timing error in that we ordered hamburgers rare. So they, as the last grain of sand filtered, as it suspended in air between the top and the bottom, the food appeared on the plate. So we said, you know, this is in order to, so we had to pay. but we thought this is the way. If you have cojones in California, here's what you do: you go to Denny's with no money in your pocket. You take your date. You have no money. You go to Denny's and you go to the table at the back corner and you order this steak burned to a crisp. I want this to be a charcoal briquette.
Beef jerky leather.
That's right. And then what they do is, of course, they don't make it. You know, they come, it's 4 minutes or whatever the hell it is. They show up and you say, this is free food. It's overdone. I'm sorry. I wanted it rare. And then you get it for free. I thought this would take some cojones to walk in there with no money and do that.
And a date.
That's right. And a date. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, you have to impress the date. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, silly me out for that. That what $2.99 steak they got at Denny's. I'll go ahead and pay for it.
That's true, too, I guess. But I thought, you know, free, you know, they talk about the going hungry in America. You don't have to go hungry in America. You get free food all the time.
Oh, absolutely.
You got to know how to order.
You have to know how to order. Well, the thing about it is I love talking about hunger in America. What I love is when you see on TV, I was watching the city commission show and they were the homeless people. Homeless. We have a homeless here in Gainesville.
We have a homeless problem.
We have a homeless problem. Apparently. Oh, and one of our city commissioners went and lived homeless for 48 hours. Of course, he was dressed in his Armani suit.
Was that intentional, or did he just get drunk or something?
I've been homeless for 48 hours before. It's called college.
Well, yeah, you say that.
No, man, no. I just can't find your way home. You know? I know it's that Northwest. It's the Northwest section there.
Well, that's why God invented cell phones. I remember I got a call from somebody one time on the side of the street. Said, I'm hurting bad. Come get me. They had the people from the bar weren't even back letting him back in the bar. It was so bad. Come get this guy.
Well, I've heard now Gainesville, Florida here is the fifth most hated city now, because we hate homeless people here.
Well, and fifth is a good thing because they all drink a fifth. And
so no, it's not good.
No, but yes, the simple fact is, well, what's amazing is, of course, if you build it, they will come. All these people that feed the homeless, it's like feeding pigeons, for God's sakes, in St. Mark's Square. What do you think's going to happen, for God's sakes? You're going to have 9 million pigeons.
Seagulls and grandmas.
That's right. Yeah, you throw seed out there. So you feed the homeless, you're going to get the homeless. I mean, they talk about a problem, and the way they want to fix the fire fire in the house is to throw gasoline on it.
Right. Well, they want us to build condos or something for them. Right?
Well, and of course they call them affordable.
Affordable condos with
playgrounds.
Well,
it's affordable for those people, but right. of course, I'm paying for
right.
it.
So. Affordable.
See, people don't realize this. I actually got about 9 houses. I got the one I'm living in, plus the other 8 that I'm paying for that the homeless are living in. I mean, you know, an affordable house.
Jimmy Doan Estates.
Yeah, well, that's right. Jimmy Doan Estates. Yeah, that's right. Well, it's not, you know, it's amazing to me if somebody calls it affordable. It's not like it costs any less. It costs the same. Right. You know, it's just that who's paying for it.
Right.
No, but anyway, they had this homeless summit here in town, and they want to do all kinds of things to cure the, what they call it. But anyway, they showed these homeless people on TV. They actually walked into City Hall, and they were saying, well, we need this. Let me tell you something. Some of these people were like 100 pounds overweight. They may be homeless, but they ain't starving. I don't know what they're eating, but it's they're eating pretty well.
They're eating jail food.
Well, then they're not homeless.
They're not homeless.
That's right. They're not homeless. Unfortunately, the jail, that's, what is that, $30,000 a year it costs us to keep them there? I'd rather, you know.
Something like that.
That's.
Well, on there, you see them on the street, you know, on the on ramps, off ramps, you know, home, you know, will work, whatever.
Will work for food, and right, of course,
right,
it's
right.
a lie.
Right?
You know, they.
Will work.
You
what do you got? Hey, I clean your window.
Yeah, no, they don't even do that here.
Yeah.
No, but it was amazing to me is to see people.
Well, they stopped them from doing some stuff. Like there was this one guy who used to walk around downtown with a pad of papers, and they had little funny things on them, like smiling too much, and he'd give you a ticket. And he'd walk up to you or be with a pretty girl.
Yeah, that's a cult.
And, well, No.
It's just a shtick.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a shtick.
And he would come do his little shtick. And he would come up to you and your date and say, now, let me just, I got to cite you here. You're walking with a pretty girl. And he'd give you a ticket for that. And he'd give you a ticket for having too much money or something or whatever.
And I'll take that off your hands.
Right. But he was a nice guy. I've seen him around now. And they shut him down from doing the ticket thing.
Why?
He's a freak.
Well, no.
He's a nice guy until he grabs a hold of you and puts you in the refrigerator.
Yeah, that's right. Come on home, little boy.
That's what they're eating.
Michael F. Jackson.
He was just like a street entertainer, basically.
Okay. But, why they shut him down? Because he didn't have a permit.
He didn't have a permit.
You have to have a permit.
And well, and rules are rules.
No, I understand. The permit was to what?
To solicit.
To do something. I mean, he just couldn't have been out there. They called it solicitation, I guess.
Well, I mean, did he want to go get an entertainer's permit or street hawking entertainer permit?
I guess in a
bum
in a,
permit.
Bum permit.
You have to have a bum.
You got to register to be a bum in this town.
I think you have to. I think you have to.
And then you got to pay taxes on everything.
Can't you register to be a bum?
This was my haul this week.
Anything they put in the cup, you got to pay taxes on now.
Well, that's true.
I don't know if registration. Never heard of that before.
You don't get to have a permit to be a street bum solicitor person.
Maybe. Well, that's the thing about the solicitation thing. I mean, this guy he actually was kind of funny.
So
he was
an entertainer. He's a street entertainer.
If you ask me, he was a little free market.
You have to have a permit to entertain.
Like the mimes in Central Park.
And was he a member of SAG? I mean, you know, the SAG people would be over here. Screen Actors Guild, they'd be over here white on rice, for God's sake.
Licensing is anathema to free society. You don't have to have a permit to do what you want to do. He should be able to have a permit to do whatever he wants to do. If he wants to do a handstand for a dollar.
The problem is I had to have a permit to go get the permit. And that was
that's when it starts to get
like taxes on taxes. No, the permit, when you think about it, you literally, do you know this? I mean, think about it. You have to have a permit. It is illegal to walk across the street without a permit. Did you know that?
Well, yeah, you get a temporary permit at the sidewalk.
Right, you get a temporary. That's right. That's exactly right. You get a temporary. They issue a temporary.
You get an easement.
Oh my God!
No, it's true. If you walk across the middle of the road, what happens?
You get hit by a car.
Well, hopefully.
Well, see, that's the thing.
Darwinian survival of the survival.
I've always said it's time to cull the herd anyway.
Well, the engineers hit on it here. The bottom line is that they don't have to give you a ticket for crossing the road because the punishment for doing it the wrong way is
death.
You get hit by a car. So and you don't have to have a rule for something
it was
like
the
that.
Horse and carriage, though.
Well, I know, but jaywalking, they can give you a ticket for jaywalking. Right?
I know they can.
I mean, I'm sure
they can give you a ticket for walking with a jay, too.
Okay. This is, you hear the crickets in the background there.
Creak, creak. Oh, there was a segment of the crowd that busted out. I see.
No, what was it?
It's 420 somewhere.
Yeah, that's right. What was it? Speaking of the crickets, there was something that came up the other day. I wish I'd taped it. There's another thing that the comics use other than the crickets. When there's a dead silence, they have a thing. I think it's called the big yawn, or no, there's some other thing that they say.
We'll have to go to open mic night and find out.
Yeah, no. It was.
Well, we need that for this show. Sometimes that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Well, the beauty of podcasting, of course, we can edit that out.
We'll edit in the Rolling Stones crowd, right?
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Jimmy
Doan, that's right. JimmyDoan.com. We listen to you
Jimmy,
all the time.
Jimmy!
No, they have
they're flashing in the front row here. Panties flying up. We can edit all that in with the green screen now.
That's right. We have the green screen. Right. We can do the chroma keying, as they
call it. We need to get an old soundtrack from like a Jimi Hendrix concert or something where they're all yelling Jimmy. Or,
yep.
Cool. Yeah, there we are.
Now, how tough do you suppose that's going to be?
Eric, engineer in the other room, can't you come up with that online in about 5 minutes?
Well, you know what?
You got 5 minutes, yeah, work on it.
Yeah, thank, well, then, you know what? Speaking of Jimi Hendrix, last night they had on PBS on the Begathon. The Begathon has started.
All right, love that.
And, you know, this is what they call Pledge Week, which lasts a month.
Send us your money, send us your
that's
money.
That's right. So what they do is, of course, this is no advertising, so they show you a show for 5 minutes, and then they beg for 25 minutes.
That's right.
And
They always play the Grateful Dead movie.
Well, interesting you should mention that. Right after that, guess what they played was Jimi Hendrix.
Jimi Hendrix.
So if we tape now, they'll probably play it again.
35-year-old footage that PBS got the rights for.
Exactly.
We got to play it.
That's right.
No, I love it. Love it. But
these people are messed up. They'll give us some money.
I mean, you got, yeah. All right. So,
no,
so,
that's right. If you're going to make
Jimi Hendrix
a pledge,
live at what? Live on acid.
I guess.
Somewhere.
At least. Live shooting up.
Right. Somewhere freaking out on stage with the guitar.
Jimi Hendrix live dead.
That's it. Live dead.
All right. Give us your money. We're gonna play. We'll play the rest of Purple Haze as soon as you send us $5. That's you know?
Skeeter!
We'll finish the song, but send us your money.
Right, that's right. Right, right. That's right.
That was also a big Simpsons thing, too. And, he, you know, of course, he called up and donated whatever it was, $10,000 just to watch the end of his thing. And then the pledge police came after him, you know, chasing him down.
Just anything to see the rest of the show.
Right. That's right.
Our other sponsors, the Simpsons.
That's right. That's right. Fox Network is going to sponsor that.
We love Fox.
Wait, sorry. We'll
put Rupert. This
right. Friday's on Fox. Mm-hmm. 8 o'clock. Woo!
That's it. No, they, I'm thinking about this. Don't tell me. I lost my train of senior moment. Senior moment.
About the permits and.
No, he was talking about
Jimi Hendrix.
Jimi Hendrix. Yeah. That's exactly right. I was talking about Jimi Hendrix, and I still forgot what I was going to say. This was like really. Oh, I know what it was. If you're going to make a pledge. Here's where you play,
Jimmy Doan.
We're gonna have to put the PayPal up there.
And that's right.
Another one of our sponsors.
Ooh,
PayPal.
Gotta do that.
And we'll take pennies, as we said. You know, we'll take out the other day. You know, pennies
we'll take
are good. You
foreign
know?
Money, land,
right.
A few
that's right.
Sheep, chicken, goats,
livestock,
the dead stock. We don't care.
Hell, we'll take lunch. Just send it to us.
We take stock. we're not particular here. That's right.
Send us your donation.
That's right. Send us your donation, and we'll stay on the air. We'll stay on the air.
Right.
Otherwise, you won't get to hear the rest of the show.
That's right.
Okay.
Cut
bye.
It off.
We know.
Well, isn't that great? Isn't that great? Now, to see the rest of the Jimi Doan, just send your money to.
Well, what we do is people don't understand this. We've encrypted this show.
Right.
So that if you don't send money, of course, in about 5 minutes, your computer's going to explode.
Absolutely.
Your iPod ears
that's right.
will burst into flames.
Or evil karma.
That's right. No, we've encrypted this. We have special. It's a special virus that goes. I'm sorry. It's a special incentive program that goes with our. that goes with the show.
Well, we are computer. Embedded. We are computer geniuses.
Computer, here. Absolutely gizmo kings.
Right. And so always ahead of the curve.
All of your credit card information is immediately transferred to us as soon as you visit the Jimmy Doan Show.
That's right. You don't even have to tell us. What you do is if your credit card is within 5 feet of the screen,
if you're thinking about your credit card,
that's right.
We
have mentalists on staff.
That's right.
You know, three psychics.
Hey,
it starts with a 4-4-0-0-0.
That's right. There's an expiration date.
Okay, and I'm thinking
4653.
I'm thinking of a number. Okay, on the eighth digit, I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 10, okay? Okay, tell me what you think.
It's a 7.
Yes.
It's a 7.
Yes, we have one.
Expiration 0707. It doesn't matter the name on the card anymore.
Right. No. That's right. We just need the number. Well, now, speaking of psychics, though, whatever happened to What's-Her-Face? Remember she was on TV all the time?
Dionne Warwick, psychic?
No. The psychic hotline. Remember they were on?
Oh, Jamaican lady.
Jamaican lady.
Oh, man, they found out that she's from Brunswick, New Jersey. She's from Jamaica, New Jersey.
And she's from Jamaica, New York?
She's
from Posadena.
She was Jamaican the cash, is what she was.
Yeah, she's Jamaican
she was
the cash.
She was raking it in, baby. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, they found out she was a fake. That's what I heard.
No.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. It's hard to believe. Wait a minute. Are you telling me?
Her permit said she had a real.
Yeah, she had a psychic permit.
You know, that brings up a good point because I was at a psychic the other day.
I was on my way to work today.
I stopped off at a psychic.
That's right. My girlfriend made me go.
Oh, yeah. Right.
She wanted to find out if our relationship was going to continue.
Whoa, okay. Yeah. This is a whole different show.
I should say.
We have now punched.
Yeah. No.
We have now wide off.
I should say my ex-girlfriend.
So
that psychic sucked.
What'd you tell her? You don't need a psychic to know that.
Yeah. I can tell you right now.
That's right.
That'd be $20.
$20. How much are you going to pay that psychic? Okay. Yeah.
All right, so I'm interested to hear what did the
psychic
tell
you. Just take me to dinner, and then I'll tell you afterwards. No. The interesting thing, it wasn't what the psychic said. It was the fact that the psychic up on the wall had
Jimi Hendrix picture.
Had a from the state of Florida official license to practice
psychism.
That's it, man. No, she had a license from the state of Florida.
No way.
She's a licensed practitioner of whatever it is.
Psychism.
Did she have a degree from Psychic U?
She did have some sort of certificate. My point is, though, is that, you know, we give licenses out to people we believe are competent in certain fields.
Well, no, that's, but also, it's also for protection, right?
Right, it was for protection.
In other words, you're supposed to have these, like you inspect the elevators, right?
Right.
They have a guy that comes around every year and puts the thing.
And he knows something about elevators.
But so now we have somebody who goes around and inspects the psychics?
Well, they got to.
And make sure they're not ripping off the.
Well, yeah.
Make sure they're really psychic.
That's right.
Where am I going next?
No. I'm here. I, when you walk in the door, I thought I'd come by and inspect you today, but you knew that.
I don't want to bore you with the obvious.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
You were expecting me today, right?
Yeah.
If you weren't inspecting me today, then guess what? We take our license and we rip it into little pieces.
So I can see they visit the establishment, walk around, all right, what? Goat's heads.
Look for bodies.
Chicken blood. Yeah, okay. Looking good. Yeah, looking good. I am Newt.
Wart of frog.
Your crystals are a little fuzzy here.
Yeah. That's right.
You know, it was amazing, though.
Your crystal's got a chip on it, man.
there's also, I do know this, in fact, in the state of Florida, there's a huge distinction between the psychics and the palm readers and the
astrologists and the hypnotists.
Like, to do stage hypnosis, it only costs you... It's like a $15 or $20 license to do the clairvoyant psychic stuff. It's $250.
Two things to consider real quick. Let me just, before we get started, before we get finished here, whatever it is on the why. Hello. Here in Lacho County, for a while, the psychics, they tried to make it a $2,000 permit. And, you know, they said...
Hold.
Yeah, no, they said there might be... They think they're possibly a discrimination. In other words, if you wanted to open up General Motors here in town, it was like $50.
Right.
But if you wanted to be a psychic, $2,000. They said, it sounds like discrimination to me. I don't think they got away with it. The other thing is, what's the name of the town down south here?
The Wicked Town or whatever?
Yeah, the Wicked Town. What is it? It's it starts with a C...
And Casadega.
Casadega, right. Well, that's, you go to Casadega, right? I mean, they have all those people there. That's what they do. The entire town is...
This is a witch town here in Florida or somewhere?
It is, yes.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it is totally... Everybody that is there, I mean, they have
the... everybody, but...
Pointy hats.
Witches, pointy hats is common.
They don't wear pointy. Witches apprentices.
Big market for pointy hats.
Nah,
and brooms. The old straw brooms, like the ones from Russia, you know, that are made out of the sticks.
Well,
none of this... Although, I understand that they do have some of the new long plastic brooms.
Plastic.
Well, they're.
Well, we all know the history of the broom.
I don't know if they're kosher. Right? They might have been blessed.
Do we know the history of the broom? Do our listeners know the history of the broom?
Tool to beat your dog and cat with, right?
I don't know.
No. Do you know?
We'll have to confirm this online because, you know, everything online is true.
That's right.
But apparently it used to be some kind of a dildo for the witches back in the days.
Oh, God. No,
I knew you'd come up with Jack Rose. Another fork in the road.
Okay,
Jack Rose has decided to go into human female sexuality.
We're just talking scientific fact here.
Yeah, right. Dildo. Yeah, certainly not an autoerotic female implement.
Dildo is a witch word for long pleasure.
You go, oh God.
Oh, did you? Speaking of that, wait. Right. Hold it. As long as we're off on this fork,
yeah.
We digress.
Did you hear about the lady who was arrested in Walmart because her vibrating pants went off and she fainted because she had an orgasm? No, I'm serious.
Oh,
no.
My God.
Yes. It was in
Did she buy it at Walmart? Has she not paid for the item?
What do you mean vibrating pants?
The whole pants.
Don't ask me. I'm a guy, okay? It is my understanding that
always vibrate.
You don't have vibrating pants? Come on.
It is my understanding that you can buy a bullet that is battery operated. And it fits where you know, and you battery operate it, and then you do the climax thing.
And apparently you pass out in Walmart.
Well, that's right. Well, apparently
we need to market that.
Yeah, I guess she was wearing it. And
so
she,
good, you'll she, pass out in Walmart.
She brushed up against something and flipped the battery switch on
Soon
or something like that.
To be a sponsor
like
of ours.
Well, you know, in the middle of the aisle, it's a little hard to reach down your pants and pull this baby out, I guess. Maybe
like
she couldn't reach.
We have a lady howling like a coyote on aisle six. Howling like a coyote on aisle six.
That's right. That's right. Howling on line six, on aisle six, please. Clean up.
Clean up.
Well, I was, you know, see, what occurred to me right off was they don't have anything like that for guys that I know of. I mean, you know.
Left out.
It seemed little enough that you could ask for an electronic pousset or something like that. You know, you can wear it at Walmart.
I don't know. Just seeing the woman climax and pass out in the middle of Walmart would have been good enough.
I suppose. Well, assuming she wasn't a 340-pounder.
Right. Oh, man.
Yeah,
flopping around, knocking down the kiosk.
That's right.
In the middle of the store.
That's right.
Oh, we just lost the Alltel kiosk online on aisle six.
Woman killed by falling stereo. Now, why was that? You know, this is one of those things where they say, "Did you have a good day?" Well, it wasn't that good, you know. And you work backwards to find out. Well, yeah, mom was killed by a falling stereo, and why'd she fall over? Well, she fell over. How was it? Because she had a dildo up her.
Well, at least you know you're going to get a good payoff from Sam Wall.
Well, that's right. You know?
Well, and of course, the security cam monitor guys are like, "Oh, you got to check this out."
Yeah, that's right. That's why they're a little.
On the internet.
Yeah,
it's
on the internet.
Right
now. 20 minutes. It's a live fucking feed.
In fact, we'll include it with this podcast.
It's a live feed. That's right. No, it's all over the store. That's it. Yeah,
security, absolutely.
Why, Mr. Security Person, why did it take you 10 minutes to get there? Well, we were watching this thing, man. We like, didn't believe it.
She was still flopping around.
She was like a salmon on the shore. Just flapping and flap, flap, flap.
We couldn't move in until the area was clear.
That's right.
It was a dangerous scenario.
That's right. Well, we ought to. This would be a good, maybe a documentary movie, you know, My Life at Walmart.
Well, Walmart's going to absolutely package it and sell the best of Walmart.
Oh,
we got the best security cam. $9.99. If you order now, we'll give you two. You know?
This is the new reality. You know, absolutely. Think about it. They have got reality. My Life at Walmart. This is perfect.
Yep.
Okay, listen. Copyright, 2000, trademark, Jimmy Doan.
Sure.
That's right. Copyright, trademark, Jimmy Doan.
Registered.
We're sending this in. Use this idea. We're going to
see with a circle around
if
it.
If you're listening to this show, it's already been trademarked.
That's right. T with a circle, R with a circle, C with a circle. We're going to circle everything. No. We've got the mini digicam. We can wear the digicam. Go through. You know what we can do? This is so cool. We use Final Cut Pro on our G5.
Another sponsor.
We go over to our previous sponsor, Radio Shack. Get us some cameras that we can take back.
Impulse buyer.
Impulse buy. Get about three of those Panasonic Digicams with the remote mics. And then we just walk around Walmart for a couple of days, come back here, edit it together, and it would be like Blair Witch Project.
So we're walking around Walmart taking a bunch of pictures, huh?
Hello.
Trying not to get arrested.
Well,
we could dress up like shoppers.
911, we got Jimmy Doan down here.
Jimmy Doan.
He's taking a lot of pictures of everybody just walking around. He's lying on the floor taking pictures. He's saying it's artistic. Could
Except
you come
the
down?
Hot blonde said it wasn't.
The hot blonde who kicked him in the scrotum.
Well, then there was the one that stripped. She said it was artistic. She's the one that flashed him.
Right. Like, well, we are in the South here.
That's right. Well, she flashed them big ones, and we had that. That's right.
Biggins,
that's right.
Biggins.
So flashing in Walmart. What are we going to call this movie, though? This would be like the Blair Witch Project. We just put this baby together, you know, and it won't even cost $100,000. We put this thing together for a couple grand.
Oh, well, yeah.
The Wackos of Walmart.
Wackos of Walmart. This is it. You know, we could do something like that. Well, I think about this. Movies that have made it. You know, Blair Witch Project was one. It cost them like nothing. They made millions, right? Okay, and then they faded from whatever it is. Two things to consider.
Faded into a tropical paradise.
Yeah, that's right. Into their 890-foot motor yacht off the Caribbean with hot and cold runner broads. Yeah. Okay, so anyway, the sleeper this year, by the way, is March of the Penguins, which, of course, is not showing here in Gainesville.
Okay, yeah.
That was the one that everybody
were going to be a sponsor, but then
but they decided not to show here in Gainesville. That's right. March, we need to put March of the Penguins. It's the documentary. It's supposed to be just the most incredible
penguin point of view. They pretty much
Do penguins have knees?
Yeah.
No, they have
hung a little camera around his tiny little penguin neck.
This guy from France went down there. Something. It's narrated by like Morgan Freeman, which sounds good. Anyway,
driving Miss Daisy
and
Miss Daisy.
Anyways, 80 minutes long, and it cost them like $8 million, and it's already cleared like $50 million. Then, of course, you have Stealth, which costs $140 million, and has cleared $13 million.
Really?
Yeah.
13.
Yeah. Oh, it is the
starring
bomb.
Jamie Foxx.
This is
with
the bomb.
Jamie Foxx.
It turns out the Stealth is they're the generous people gave it 1 star out of 5.
Well, apparently that movie.
Those
was,
are the people they paid off.
Well, that movie was shot apparently years ago.
Stealth?
Stealth was shot. This is the Jamie Foxx movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was shot before he had the success of Ray. So they re-released it with more Jamie Foxx. Apparently it wasn't originally all about Jamie Foxx, but now it's Jamie Foxx because Jamie Foxx was making money like Jamie Foxx.
Right.
So they wanted to capitalize on the Jamie Foxx.
No.
One of our sponsors in
Hollywood?
The near future.
Capitalize?
So they re-edited it. Re-edited it with a little more Jamie Foxx for the Jamie Foxx
Did they
Fox
even release
crowd.
It the first time?
No. This was the
it
first
was
time
in
it was
the
released.
Can.
It was in the
in
can.
In the can, as they
And
say.
Said, man, we don't really have much here.
Yeah, it's a shitty. It don't even.
Let's just put this one away.
Let's see how Ray does.
Yeah. Well, no, they didn't know. But I mean, that's exactly right. You know, it's funny.
No, it
is like selling the nude pictures of the girl after she becomes a Playboy bunny or whatever the hell it is. You know, here she was when she was 18 and one.
They picked up a bunch of film off the floor and said, "All right, what can we make out of this?"
That's exactly right. No, it happens all the time.
There's like Star Trek cuts in there and stuff.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Green screen. You know?
Yeah, that's right. You know, pictures of outer space with a bus in the background. Whoa,
the old moonshot videos.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
we'll have to have clips of that. We'll have clips of that on JimmyDone.com here in the near future, right?
Yeah,
for all you Jamie Foxx fans.
That's right.
Hopefully. But I got to digress for a second. What did the psychic say about your relationship?
Oh, that's right. Whoa, wait a minute. Let's go back down the tree and get. That's right. We have to go back down the tree.
Actually, I'm gonna have to go back and pay that psychic some more money.
Was she hot? Was she hot? That's what I want to know. Was she hot?
Well, I'll tell you what your future is, but you gotta pay me first.
No. Well, I mean, I'm wondering if this is like, okay, on the next visit, what do you want me to say? Okay, that's going to be another $250.
Yeah. Well, see what it is. We went in individually. So what I said is,
it's like a police interrogation.
Right. Yeah. So I went in first, and so I gave her extra money, and I wrote the prediction.
Oh, you wrote the script for the second. Right. No, see, my here's what you do. You did the air quotes, right? My girlfriend.
Okay, now you're going to, when she comes in here, you're going to predict that we're going to have a long and loving relationship. But I'm going to make a lot of money. Better stay.
So she interrogated you guys individually.
Yeah, she was to be quite frank, she was a bit chumpy. It was very much the stuff that you could predict right out of the hypnosis. It was John Edwards' predictions. You know, it was stuff like
thinking of a name, it starts the letter J.
Right. And
John, he's thinking of my dead Uncle John.
Right. That's right. And you're going to receive a letter in the mail.
Oh my God, I just got one yesterday.
That's right. And
you're going to get a fortune cookie from a Chinese restaurant.
Exactly.
And it's going to have something positive on the note.
Very positive.
That's right.
Follow the words that it tells you.
Yeah.
Listen to my voice. And so she said, what? What did she say?
Oh, yeah, I'm telling you, it was totally standard stuff. It was. There's going to be a career change in the coming year. You're going to have some sort of excitement in July or something.
July, firework goes off in your hand,
right? Yeah. Which was only 11 months away.
Right.
You know, in 11 months, it's all going to happen.
And my shop will be closed up.
Right. I'll be gone.
You won't be able to find my
lease is up in April.
That's great.
But the whole point there is that here's this system that we have for licensing that like you say, Jimmy, is supposed to protect us. And the way it's going to protect us is by granting licenses only to the qualified, competent practitioners. And yet our system has obviously been – well, it just makes sense because there's going to be businesses out there that are not going to have qualified practitioners to license you.
You mean like attorneys or doctors?
Just anything. New business. Any new business at all, how are you going to regulate a brand new business without – if it's brand new, there's not people who are competent to know what it is that's competent,
like braiding, they have
cornrows thing, unbelievable.
Yeah, now you got to get a license for that. You wouldn't want
to, and you have to go to school to learn how to cut hair in order to braid it. That was the big deal.
It's a mercantile cartel.
Well, it is absolutely right from the 16th century. I mean, it's the guild system over again. And of course, what's even the guild system though? At least was sort of private. A lot of it was, not all of it, but some of it was at least kind of private.
Well, and that's why it collapsed. Because people said, forget it, I'm not going to go to work for the shoemaker for 2 years sweeping the shop before he teaches me how to make a sole on a shoe.
Which I can learn in 20 minutes.
That's right. I'm just going to go ahead and make
some
shoes.
Well, not only that, the other thing, which they fought desperately, was mechanization. That is to say...
The Luddites, right.
These people were... And they fought... these are the people that burned the looms, because the looms were doing the weaving instead of the weavers.
All right, now let's give a quick definition of a Luddite.
The Luddites actually were
they're from Luddite, Texas.
Yeah.
No, there's a guy. There's a guy, Luddite.
Yeah.
You're kidding.
No.
I thought it was like a cult.
Yeah, but he was the leader.
He was the leader.
I did not know that.
Yep.
I did not know that. Mr. Doc, you know, John Luddite?
Yeah, whatever. Exactly.
So, okay, and so, and
he was the guy who was, he was saying that the new looms were throwing people out of work.
Right.
His mechanization is throwing people out of work, and therefore that type of progress is bad. So he didn't understand the fact that all progress has to be made by some people getting thrown out of work and then coming up with something better to do.
Well, Schumpeter called that creative destructionism.
He had
Schumpeter was a genius in that particular. And anybody that's one of the one of my must read books, by the way, is Joseph Schumpeter.
And what's the name of the book?
He wrote several, and to be honest with you, I'll have to get the title on the next broadcast.
Okay, but the point is that Luddite had no conception of constructive destructionism.
Well, it's interesting because the statistics were the number of people working in the fabric-type industry multiplied tenfold over the next 50 years.
After the loom was invented?
After the loom was put into production.
Well.
And, of course, not to mention the fact that everybody had 9 suits instead of 1.
Well, that is the real benefit. That's the real wealth, and that's the real reason why.
And wealth is stuff.
Right.
Wealth is not money. It's stuff. And so it's, yeah.
No, looms produce more stuff than people do.
And, of course, that was, you know, the Jacquard loom was the first program, first computer. Did you know that? The Jacquard loom. It programmed with these cards, literally, like punch cards.
Uh-huh.
And it would go through, and it would figure out, you could, on the punch cards, you could put the design of the rug or the shirt or whatever the hell it was, and it would weave it according to the holes in the holes in the thing would allow the shuttles to go through.
Oh, I see. A mechanical software program.
Exactly.
Okay.
A.K.A. hardware.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't know. It's but anyway, that's the kind of thing that came along. That was one of the first, I guess, one of the first computers was, and it was punch cards. Literally, that was what the precursor to IBM called the not Hazeltine.
ENIAC.
No, God, the precursor to IBM, and I forget, it starts with an H, I think. The company that was the precursor to IBM in did the 1890 census with punch cards.
Mm-hmm. The HAL?
The HAL, right. The HAL.
Precursor.
This was the HAL 1.
The Whopper.
The Whopper.
Yeah, that was one.
The Whopper, yes. From Weird Science.
No, that was from...
The Whopper
no,
was
from... War Games.
War Games. I mean. That's right. War Games. War Games.
All right. So the point is, though, that the Luddites were the group people who followed Mr. Luddite, and basically they said...
They broke in and destroyed the looms. Right. I mean, they tore them up, burned them.
And they moved to Amish, Pennsylvania.
Just about. They're right next door there.
Dutch Springs.
Henceforth, all people who decry the benefits of technology are known as Luddites.
That's right. And that's good. And that's a good word to know. And the other thing is... of course, the licensing, run back down the branch a little bit here. Mm-hmm. The licensing is interesting because the licensing is supposed to guarantee you a certain level of competence. Isn't that correct?
Yep.
So, of course, I asked an attorney friend of mine, one of the worst attorneys here in town, if he knew any attorney.
Good friend.
If he knew any attorneys worse than he was. And he said, and he rolled his eyes up into his head and said, "Oh my God, you got to be kidding me." He knew, he could name names, I mean, across the board of people that were, and of course, I didn't tell him that he was, as far as I was concerned, he was the worst. But I'm
thinking, were paying him, right?
That's right. Well, yeah.
That's our staff attorney here at Jimmy Doan.
That's right. My point is.
Well, I mean, I was buying him as a Big Mac.
But the point is that what does a $100,000 education of passing the ABA by? The consumer, nothing.
Yeah,
nothing. Well, it buys them nothing.
Well,
and that's the thing with doctors. You know, you think about the malpractice suits and all the drunk surgeons and everything. Not all, but I mean the people who are, forget the drunk, forget the just
the guys that are leaving the scissors.
Well,
in.
As they say in the exactly. That's right, leaving the scissors in you. But
man,
think about it.
I had a brand new scalpel.
It was a small pair of scissors.
That's right. And I'm pretty sure they were closed. Let's take run an MRI on a coonk. It comes out.
It goes ripping out of the
that comes ripping
spleen.
Out like the alien. Oh, it comes
and
brings
classic.
A lug along with it.
Half a spinal cord is stuck to the wall, pinned there with these scissors.
That's right. Blood everywhere.
Then there's the guy that amputates the wrong leg. You know.
Yeah, that's right. You know, how do you, the right one.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah, but the right leg was the wrong leg. Right. I'm sorry. Didn't you say right leg?
Yeah, but I was sure to do the right leg.
The right leg, that was the wrong leg. You were supposed to do the left leg.
Make sure to do the right leg.
That's right. That's what I did.
Hi, everybody.
I'm Dr. Nick.
I didn't quite understand what he meant.
That's right. That's the other thing. I'm sorry. You're from where? Oh, you're from Bangladesh, and you speak Bangladeshi.
Bangladeshi.
That's right. Bengali. Well, you know, as they say, what do they call the guy who graduated last in his medical class?
Yeah, doctor.
Doctor. That's right.
Look,
that's
right. I'm buying the idea that some sort of barrier, i.e. licensing, does ratchet up
the competence level
a little bit.
Sure,
it doesn't ratchet it up.
Idiots.
Well, no, and I wouldn't say that. And I'm not going to go there. It weeds out some people, and it does tend to get people who are less competent as opposed to the more competent ones. But the bottom line is, it's just a ridiculous filtration system. Oftentimes, the licensing procedure has nothing in relationship to the actual practitioner's practice. That is to say, on a surgeon's on his licensing thing, do they have to cut somebody open? Well, maybe.
It's part of their oral exam.
Right. Well, part of the actual physical exam. I can tell you that as a lawyer.
Well, of course. Here's the thing. The guy goes in there, and of course they say, as part of your exam, you need to take this guy's appendix out. And of course, what happens if the guy flunks?
Well, I got
a lung by mistake.
Right.
I got something. Fail, buddy.
I got something. It looks like a kidney bean. No, you got to figure that they're practicing.
It is a kidney bean. I was in the stomach.
This is the fourth time I've taken this exam.
That's right. Dang.
Well, it doesn't matter because they're practicing on the homeless people down here in Gainesville. So.
Now, hopefully they're practicing on dead people or they're testing on dead people or something like that.
Well, soon to be dead anyway.
Homeless people.
But I can tell you this, that as a lawyer, you don't have to try a case to pass the test or anything like that. They don't make you go into a courtroom for any reason.
You just got to act like you can.
Well, it reminds me a little bit of when I was taking my instrument exam for flying. Uh-huh. You could take it in a J3 Cub with a compass. And as they say,
is that a little small plane? So.
The J3 is a little small plane. You know, you have to hand prop it.
A puddle jumper.
Puddle jumper, and you use the duck and cat method of flying.
What's that?
Oh, I'm sorry. You didn't know the duck and cat method? No, the duck and cat method.
It's an educational show, so we're in educational.
In an airplane, if you take a duck and a cat with you, you can fly on instruments. You can fly in clouds. Why? Because cat always lands on its feet. So you know which wind is down. And a duck, you just turn it loose and it'll fly. You know, duck can fly in a storm too. So as long as the duck is flying and not plastered against the roof or something, you're pretty much okay.
You know, you're flying. You're going straight, man.
That's right. You're going straight. So that's the duck and cat. But anyway, I mean, you could pass your instrument rating, in order to maintain not a level plane, but at least the right attitude. You know, you could dangle your watch from the accelerator thing, from one of the things that you pull out from the dashboard, and as long as it's hanging straight down, you know pretty much that you might be in a spin, but
an uncontrollable spin.
But I mean, what I'm saying is, if you get back on the ground, they give you your instrument ticket, which allows you the same capabilities to fly that 747, at least did. Mm-hmm. On full-blown instruments, on, you know, with everything, artificial horizons.
They don't even have windows.
Right. My point is that you pass, like you say, the law exam.
It's a very small filtering device.
You pass the law exam and suddenly you are competent to be Johnny Cochran.
Well, it keeps out people who can't take exams is what it does.
Who's dead, of course.
Right. Well, thinking about the first thing that you do, I mean, I've helped some people out with some computers. I don't know why they still call me, but it's amazing that what's the first thing you do when you want to buy something. If you want to buy a car, you ask around. You say, well, who did you get your car from? Were you happy with it? Did you feel like you got ripped off? You know, I mean,
I think this is called the market.
The market, exactly. The
market.
All of your,
been working,
you know, just because they're a doctor. I mean, what's the first thing he said? Well, are they a good doctor? Are they the best? Is that their specialty? Do they like?
Does he use the whole hand? Or
does he leave like
a lot of KY? Is he kind of chimpy on the KY?
Right. Oh God. It's a family show here today.
I don't think so.
But
I don't think so.
Well, exactly. You got to ask around. It's word of mouth.
That's the point.
And that is the whole. When ask yourself, why is eBay successful? Because they have the feedback system. I mean, the fact is, you go. Yeah, I mean, I go into eBay, and there's somebody that might have.
You bought something on eBay before?
Oh shit! I mean, I'm sitting
here. eBay junkie.
eBay junkie. I got stuff here that I bought just to look at it and put it back on eBay.
I
mean,
I
want to see that up close. I pay the postage just to look at it. Dang, I never seen
it. That's neat.
Damn, that's
repost
cool. That's right. Repost it. I just take this guy's post. I mean, it's only been, you can recall his, change the name and put it back on eBay, you know. Maybe make a dollar. I don't know. Or lose, as the case may be.
Oh.
Seriously, the eBay thing, the feedback, I've gone on eBay, and if somebody's got like a 92%, I don't buy from that person. That means that's how good you got to be on eBay. I look at people that are 97, 98, 90. Now,
the percentage refer to?
That's percentage of positive people that called, that sent a thing that said, yes, I had a good transaction with this guy.
Well, if you buy two and one's bad, that means you got a 50% then, right?
That's right.
That's right. Okay.
But I mean.
They also list how many transactions.
How many transactions. So if you see a guy that's like giving, here's a couple of examples. You see a guy who's brand new to eBay, has a zero feedback. That is to say, he's never sold anything. I don't buy from him.
He's selling a car.
He's selling a car, right. He's selling a car.
Changing his screen name every time.
Yeah, and then they have the little sunglasses on there, just changed his name. You know, they have a little thing. If you change your name on eBay for 30, 60, or 90 days, they have little sunglasses by your name.
That's what that
is.
That is exactly what that is. The little sunglasses.
So what's a power seller?
This means
power seller is how many things you sell per month or something like that. And they have like silver, gold, platinum, you know, neutrino, whatever, black hole, singularity, whatever. I don't know. So anyway,
So you can't change your name more than once every 39 days? Whatever.
Yeah.
Are there two pair of sunglasses?
No, I haven't seen that. There's one pair.
One pair.
It's a really dark,
slim, shady.
Dark.
Yeah,
that's
you get the Terminator shade.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's dark. Right. I don't know if they're Oakleys, though.
I may not be back.
I change my name every week because I rip people off.
But I have bought stuff on eBay. I bought two things on eBay that I got ripped off. One, you know, that in fact.
Did they have sunglasses?
No. What happened on one of them was by the time I figured out I got ripped off, I went back to look at his feedback rating, and there was like 27 bad ones right in a row. Because obviously what happened is the guy sold whatever this was to 30 different people and went to and took the
Juarez, Mexico.
Well, except for the fact that it was $10 item, so he didn't go far.
$50
Well, anyway. Right. He just went right across the board.
That's right. Well,
that was just drinking money for the day.
That's right. Well, you know, you wonder if the guy's name was, you know, Jose Gonzalez and he was from San Diego or whatever. What's the border town down there? Tijuana.
Tijuana.
And, you know, of course, he just walked across and said, screw it. I got my $300. I don't care. That's big money.
Which apparently it is pretty easy to do that, right?
Well, no, they don't. eBay's pretty good about trying to detect that. I mean, they, you know, we figure they got, you know, 30 million things on there, 100 million.
Oh, yeah.
People.
Sure. Well, that's the whole keeping point. Keeping track of that.
That was Eric's point is that word of mouth will take
market.
Care of it.
Right? The market. The bottom line is the market. People don't trust the market.
If you removed licensing tomorrow, would the entire world fall apart?
Well, this, of course, speaking of removing licensing, I want to tell you something even a little more desperate that I think would have happened, should have happened. When they did 9/11, what was the first response? Oh, my God, we got to fire up the TSA and put more federal people. You know what I would have done? I personally would have done this. I would have, the day after 9/11, I'd have said, we are removing all federal inspectors. You are on your own airline. You are on your own.
President Doan.
That's right. President Doan would have said, you are on your own. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think you'd be safer today on an airplane.
Yeah, because then it's their responsibility.
Hello. I mean, you know, you got to figure at the very minimum, the pilots ain't about to get on that goddamn airplane.
I got a question for you.
I mean, that's the nice thing about airplanes. The pilot's on it.
It's basically you've got Rambo in a flight uniform.
Yeah. I mean, you know. And,
you know, most of those guys are ex-military.
The pilots?
Yeah.
Now they wouldn't be so ex.
Yeah, you know, you take
they're
over.
Getting on, they don't need the loudspeaker right. anymore. All right, listen up. Yeah. I'm your pilot, Rambo.
That's right.
We're going to have a good, smooth flight here, right?
Your waitress is Joe and Fred.
That's right. They'll give you a soda. Just sit down and shut up.
That's right.
Don't move.
You get
your
MRE.
That's right. Your MRE will drop down like an oxygen mask. Don't move.
That's right.
Don't. You will find it beside your barf bag, you will find your pee bottle.
That's right.
You do not have to go to the bathroom.
In Mohammed in aisle 26, we got our eye on you.
Yes.
Don't think we didn't notice you walking
coming
on
in
the plane.
There.
All right. So, yeah, we got you, buddy.
Yeah, well, it ain't that hot. What's under that turban?
You're targeted. Yeah. You better hope you're not hitting any turbulence.
Right. That's right. Yeah, Joe, go stand by him with the bayonet.
Right. He's got a little red dot on him the whole flight.
That's right. A red dot.
A laser dot. Just anywhere in the upper torso for the first shot, Joe. That's good.
He sneezes, he's going to see holla.
That's right.
He's close. See, we're flying at 39,000 feet. He's close to them 72 virgins. He's going to see him real quick then, buddy.
That's right.
Well, what I don't understand is how come they just didn't put, I'm going to go with a door between the cockpit and the fuselage.
They got a door, it's just the
they do. They do. Now they got, you know, cut. It's like.
It's thick cardboard.
Yeah,
no,
well,
it's like MST 3000 now, you know, when you go through those nine.
Yeah, right.
Nine doors. Ka-ching, ka-chunk, clang, boom.
Well, that would do it. I mean, we are hijacking the plane. We will kill all the passengers. Okay.
Yeah. It'd be like just like that.
Man, you're gonna go down for
it'd
a
be
lot.
Just like Jim in Taxi. Well, you're gonna kill. Yeah. Eric, you can do that.
You won't give me the Genesis device.
Okie doke.
Okie doke. You're gonna kill all the people on the plane. Okie doke.
I mean, they just gas them. I mean, that's the Rambo pilot. Be
right.
Like, no problem.
Yeah, you thought they were oxygen masks?
Yeah, no, those are nitrous masks.
How hard is it? All you got to do is depressurize the thing.
Right.
They'll pass right out.
Exactly.
Shoot,
absolutely.
You didn't even have to put anything in.
No, that's exactly true. All you got to do is twist that little valve.
You're hijacking a plane? Well, here goes your oxygen. Ooh, look at that.
But like you said, the pilots are all ex-military. They're not going to choose the easy way out.
No, well, you know.
They're going to pop the AK off the wall there and go down and kick some ass.
That's right.
All I know is I finally get to kill somebody.
I didn't go to Da Nang for nothing.
That's right, baby.
So the little collateral damage.
I didn't get to kill anybody in the Gulf War. I'm going to take an Ismail and Mohammed. Out right here, baby.
Well, I didn't get to kill anybody in the Gulf War.
The problem was I was in the Air National Guard, and I never got to go over there. I'm going to do some damage.
Let's see if they can stand up in the aisle through a barrel roll.
That's right. Well, not only that, well, that's why they paint the inside of the airplane red, so the blood won't show.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you right now that the airlines would be safe today.
Well, how about just let everybody carry their gun?
Well, I don't know about that. You know, you get some nutbag on there.
Yeah,
don't
you
give
you're giving people too much credit.
Yeah, no. Well,
the average person.
No, that's not. I'm not worried about the average person. I'm worried about the average person's going to shoot themselves. I'm worried about Mr. Shoe Bomber.
Shoe Bomber.
I'm worried about the one guy that is a total nutbag.
They searched the shoe bomber's shoes.
No, they didn't.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Searched. You are lying to me.
No, before
no,
he got
did.
On the
they
plane,
did.
They searched the shoe bomber's shoes.
I don't believe you.
They did.
What?
You tell
what's
that
this?
To,
what's this bomb looking thing?
Can we confirm
thing?
This? Look on the internet.
That's just my shoe sole there. I mean, what?
What's this ticking thing in the bottom of your shoe?
Yeah,
you kind of looks like Play-Doh or Slay or something.
He had a swivel off heel or something.
He had a swivel off.
Well, you know, you don't. You certainly don't want to. You certainly don't want to buy one of those Swiss clocks and come back to the United States.
Tick, 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 man, you wouldn't want. Man, I wouldn't buy a clock or a knife or.
So what this guy look like with the shoe bomber?
Oh, he looked like a terrorist.
He looked like a terrorist. He looked like he fit the.
Was his middle name Muhammad?
No, he was out of Hollywood Central Cast.
Yeah, no, he looked like Howard Stern crossed with Slash.
See,
and then roll his eyes around a bit. And you know,
with a turban on his head.
Oh, yeah, no, he didn't have a turban.
No, but he was like kind of like olivey skinny tan looking
right. Muhammad looking.
Kill them all.
Damn.
There's no, I mean, but my point is that.
That was a bad day at the airport.
Well, there's just nothing they can do. You're not going to be safe. If they want to bomb your plane, and look.
They dick a stinger out to the end of the airport and pull it off.
How many are they going to get? One.
Well,
or
did you
two?
hear about the other day in New York? Now they're talking about that racial profiling and profiling for searching in the subway.
No, they think it
might be a good idea.
No, you're kidding. Last I heard, Bloomberg said there was no racial profiling.
Bloomberg said that, but a lot of people were saying it's
fuck
a good
you,
idea.
Bloomberg.
That's right. Fuck you, Bloomberg.
Well, that's right.
And they're doing this stuff in England now too.
In England they are totally profiled.
They're going
totally profiled.
No, about it.
Let me tell you something. You come back.
Don't run from the police.
You come back from the Caribbean with a tan.
You're not getting on that.
No, team. I'm sorry. You ain't gonna make it.
Your backpack on front ways.
It did get them some ground there. I mean, how many people are running from the police in England nowadays? Like, freeze! Yeah,
man.
Yes, sir.
No problem.
You look like you were dipped in nitrogen.
It's like Jim Carrey in The Mask.
Yeah.
When they said freeze,
but you told me to freeze.
How many people are wearing hooded sweatshirts right now? I don't think not too many, man.
No, I know. No,
sales went down. Like,
they're all on eBay.
You, and of course, that's right. There, you can buy hooded sweatshirts for any each today, shipping included.
That's right. Man, winter's going to be sketchy over there.
Well, ooh. I tell you, because if I was going to London today, I'd go in my bathing suit. I mean, there's
exactly.
And they have, of course, there's a on the inspection team now. That, of course, they got the proctologists. Make sure that you're not bringing anything.
Well, they said they
the proctologist and the gynecologist.
Now they told their police people if you see a suspected suicide bomber, shoot him in the head.
Right. That's why that Brazilian got
five times at point blank range.
Point blank. Right. Point blank. I mean, just to make burns sure. All over your skull.
Yeah.
Entry and exit wounds.
Now I want to make it. Powder burns. He's burned up.
Oh, man.
All right. Now, I want to make a quick distinction, though. I mean, now, of course, in this country, we have the rule, which makes a lot of sense, which if you think that somebody's in imminent danger, that is, say, if there's a criminal standing there with waving around a gun, getting ready to shoot somebody.
On your porch.
Or anywhere. Right. The police can shoot them. My point is that if there's imminent danger, you can get shot.
Okay. Right.
So that makes sense. If somebody's standing there with what looks like a bomb and what looks like a detonator in their hand, you can get shot. Okay.
Shoot first, ask questions later.
Well,
that's legal. Is that what you're saying?
It might not
be a real bomb. He looks like it's in imminent danger, but if it's not a real bomb, after you know, you're picking his flesh off of it, and you realize.
Of course, the other thing is when you realize
it was a Nintendo GameCube or whatever.
Well, you know, what about a
one
cell
of our sponsors?
Phone? What if you're waving around a cell phone?
Oh, that's a detonator.
That's what I thought.
Right, and not only that, but you see,
bang.
That's what I thought.
And you got to remember,
bang, there's bang, a right dead. Yeah.
Bang!
You gotta remember that.
All I've got is my cell phone. Bang!
You gotta remember that there's a lot more people who are suspected of doing stuff.
Duh. Yeah, right. There's a lot fewer people suspected than no. Okay, obviously, yeah.
Right. So they may get shot now, to some extent. There's not much you can do about that. I mean, if there really is an imminent danger, if the police person really suspects that, I mean, if they're really looking at a bomb, then you do want them to shoot the guy.
Well, of course, the police sometimes get a little gun cappy too. You know, they had that thing in New York where they, you know, put 94 bullets in that guy because he was reaching for his wallet or something. And he was, you know, they had no reason to.
It was a detonator.
Yeah, right. The other thing is that I've seen him shoot when a guy's waving a knife around.
Yeah.
Well, and they said, well, we thought he might come over and stab me. I'm thinking, can you
shoot call? Him in the
we
knee.
Thought he might drive over and stab
him. Jesus, you know, well, right, exactly. Shoot him in the knee. You know. Shoot him in the knife, for God's sake. You know? I mean, you know, hello. Well, you know, look, I think about all those old Western movies where they shoot the gun out of the Lone Ranger never shot. He always shot the gun out of their hand. Seems like these guys ought to be that good anyway.
Well, my point is this. My point is that I'm not so worried about that. I'm a little worried when Tony Blair says that the rules of the game are changing.
Why?
Well, because that sort of sends a message to the police people, like the rules of the game are changing. When really,
now you got more freedom to kick some ass.
Right. And the point is that it's the same old standard. If you think there's an imminent danger, then there's an imminent danger. If there's not, then you wait.
Yeah.
So
okay.
We see where the world is going here. Okay. It's happening in England. It's happening here.
Well, again, the
more
thing
power,
I
Sieg Heil.
Well this again,
Sieg Heil.
No, this is what you're talking about. Like on the 24th,
Yellow Stars,
of July, there was a guy on a commuter hub, and he threw his backpack at an Amtrak agent and said it was a bomb.
Oops.
And this
very
is,
funny. Bah, bah, bah,
yeah,
bah.
Penn Station.
Well, did you see where the guy who
it's
sent
a faux pas.
The guy who sent George Bush
it's
or some
faux pas, pas, pas.
Who sent him an sent him from jail, I think he sent him an envelope with body powder in it and said it was anthrax. He got life imprisonment.
Oh, I believe that.
Got life for that. For
I defended a guy who just called up the governor's office. In Florida here, and he just said, "Well, they were giving him a hard time about pursuing some crime. He was trying to get him to prosecute his ex-wife or something." And he said, "Well, if I was to blow up the governor's office, you'd certainly come prosecute me."
Oops.
Yeah. And
year later, no, when I was talking to him in jail,
right, oh, you're right. Kidding?
Oh no.
You are kidding.
Oh, no,
sir,
no.
Open the door, please. Yeah, we hear you on the phone.
Yeah.
Open the door.
They came and got him. I defended. He'd spent about a year in jail by the time I got to him.
And?
Well, he eventually pled guilty to one count of some misdemeanor charges. So they let him out.
Acting like an asshole on the phone.
Yeah, exactly. And they let him out.
Misdemeanor count.
On time served for a year.
Unbelievable.
For a year.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. But and why didn't you get to him after the first day?
He didn't hire me till after a while.
Well, you're the public defender, for God's sakes. Who
hired
you?
No, I was a private attorney.
Oh, you're private. Okay, fine. Okay, well, but the question is, of course, why didn't the PD get him out the next day?
My point is you can't. They
can't.
It was depositions.
What did they charge him with?
They charged him with conspiracy.
Felony,
yeah,
conspiracy.
Oh, absolutely. Conspiracy to blow up a government office. It's like it's kind of a funky name of the charges, like... explosive devices, unlawful use of an explosive device or something. I can't remember.
Unlawful use of an explosive device.
Thinking about
it.
As opposed to a lawful use.
Well, of course, let me tell you.
Well, that was his whole point, was that there was no device. And how could they charge him with this? Can't you get this thrown out of court?
Right.
And I brought in the case law, which brought up these old civil rights cases from the 60s, where they were doing a protest out on the lawn of a college, and some guy standing up saying, if so-and-so were here right now and I had a gun, I'd shoot him. And they arrested him, and he spent 6 months in jail until it got thrown out on appeal.
Right.
But he spent 6 months in jail. My point is that if you can be a suspect pretty darn quick.
Right.
But
you're going to jail for your thoughts.
That's it. Well, in those instances, yeah.
Boy, I tell you, that's a slippery slope.
It's a totally that's my.
Like I said, yellow triangles, pink triangles, yellow stars. You know, I mean,
well, we have three crimes in this country that are what's called inchoate crimes, which means no body. They don't have any substance to them. They're crimes which don't really. Well, give the example, they are attempt, solicitation, and conspiracy. You think about it, attempt, nothing really happens. You know, nobody really gets hurt. Okay, but it's still a crime because there's still a potential victim. There's still somebody there who, if the person got away with it, would have got hurt. So, you know, like when they catch somebody walking out of Walmart with some goods, Walmart gets the stuff back.
With the vibrating pants.
That's right. That's right.
And I wouldn't say walk,
in the
but
parking
more,
lot.
Yeah. They catch somebody flopping out of Walmart.
Flopping out of seizuring out of Walmart.
With a big smile on their face.
And their eyes rolled back into their head. Mouth wide open like a bass.
You know, Walmart doesn't lose anything. So you might think, well, there's no harm, no foul. But the bottom line is there would have been would have been a victim if they got away with it. And so
and of course that's why of course you have to. It's interesting. And let me ask you a question about along that same line. Digress just for a second.
Sure.
You put something in your pocket. You're in Walmart,
uh-huh.
And you put something in your pocket, but you don't go outside. When can they arrest you?
That's an excellent question.
Especially for all our listeners out there.
Yeah, right.
They do that quite regularly.
Well, no, yeah.
Well, I was going to pay for that.
Well, no, wait. Before you get... you got to realize that most people are listening to this broadcast on their iPod in Walmart. So this is topical. This is exactly precisely
what you need to know right now.
What you need to know right now
before you walk out that store.
That's right.
Definition of theft is interference with somebody's ability to control their own property. Okay, so technically,
what the hell?
For example, if you're a stock boy at the Walmart, and there's a game that comes out, and you really want the game, so you stock it someplace else in the Walmart.
Ah, yes.
Okay. In your special locker in the back.
Well, no, you put it in the wrong place.
Yeah, you put it in the wrong place. Just over in hoses or something.
Yeah.
You know?
You're
a hoser.
I've done that before at Radio Shack.
Hey, you hoser.
Yeah, that's illegal. That's
really?
Theft.
I mean,
yeah,
I didn't do
theft.
That.
In other words, you take...
Yeah, right.
In other words, you know, this. They did a Seinfeld on this, where the guy wanted... They said, well, the suits go on sale tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
And the guy says, well, I really like this. Yeah. Well, tomorrow you come back, and so what he does, he takes the suit, and he moved it over to...
Yeah.
Can't do that.
No,
that
is theft, because you're interfering with their ability to sell it.
Shit.
No, that makes sense.
I know it does, but why the hell do we need a law for that? That's right.
It's not. It's the same old law. Look, it's interference with property.
The same old law. Since when?
I mean, since time immemorial.
Well, you got to figure who's being harmed. It's being the Walmart people,
right.
And they have a legitimate complaint. Okay,
and it's you
ahead.
And me because we're stockholders.
Okay,
or you are.
And they're soon to be an advertiser, of course,
right.
On this show.
Right,
that's right.
Walmart.com.
So, yeah. So in your example of the guy putting it in his pocket, you know, if they could potentially arrest the person.
Now, usually it's the security people that come first.
Right.
Now, can they detain you, but they can't arrest you.
That's correct.
Okay. Right.
And they have no powers.
You know, citizens.
Well, they have power to detain you.
Their
don't
main,
they?
Their main, the main.
Not if you stopped and got some Walmart mace.
Well,
your
let
way.
Me ask you. Yeah, that's right. And let me get one of these. Let me get one of these dildos on my way out for my girlfriend.
Right. And a semi-automatic weapon from the hunting.
Right,
section.
Right.
That's right. And the bullets to go with. No, let me ask you. Here's the deal. So let's figure out how we can beat the system here. Or let me ask you. So here you are in Walmart, and you've got this thing, and the security guard comes up and says, "Hello," and what you do is you take it out of your pocket, you throw it on the floor, and you run out of Walmart.
you say, "I was going to buy it. I was going to buy it.
I'm just keeping it in my pocket.
Right. Yeah, I'm just holding it.
Warm it up.
Holding it in my pocket."
Okay, and they say.
No, they make up their minds, and then if the jury believes you, then
the jury and the jury is
so they could arrest you. They could arrest you for it.
Okay, so this is the Walmart jury that's in the other room there. They take you right in there, and this is what they ought to.
I'm talking about months later.
Yeah, months later.
Oh, months later.
After you've been
I like
thousands of tax dollars.
One of my favorite movies on the planet is A Boy and His Dog. Have you ever seen that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's Don Johnson.
Don Johnson.
Early Don Johnson. And where they had the judge and the jury, and, you know, to the farm. That's where they just do it right there on the spot. I mean, you know, you are tried. It's like the old lynching days, you know.
You'd get your day in court, but let's face it: if you're putting stuff in your pocket in Walmart, you're probably stealing it.
That's true.
So my point is, though, is that you're absolutely right about the difference comes in the action that's taken, not necessarily the words that are spoken. I know I digress way back, but back to the people getting chucked out of England and stuff and the inchoate crimes. My point with that was to say that you can have the crime of attempt, but you have to take some substantial step in the planning process.
Okay.
Okay. You can't have the crime of attempt by just talking about stuff.
But they do. But they do arrest you for that, though, don't they?
No, not unless you're talking about actually doing it. Like you went to your buddy and you said, "Hey, let's go."
Okay, that's conspiracy.
Yeah, but you have to actually take some steps. You can't just say, "You know, I hate Walmart. I really hate. I would blow it up if I had a bomb."
You can't.
Which we're not saying.
No, right. we're not saying. That. That's
we
right.
did not say that.
No. We said it, but this is a hypothetical. There were quotes all around. Right. Double quotes all around it.
Do not knock on our door.
No, that's right.
All right.
So my point
the
is that
the internet is we're going to run this through the anonymizer so that nobody knows.
The
anonymizer. That's right. The anonymizer.
Right.
Hey, that is pouring down rain outside.
Pouring down rain.
Okay. Go ahead.
And, so the idea is that at least our idea in the Constitution, free speech. The idea is that you should be able to say whatever you want to say if you want to plan out the destruction of an institution or a government, some sort of administration. You can talk about it. That is, you can talk about the demise of the administration, but you can't actually take steps in the planning process. You can't
drawing it out on a piece of paper.
Yeah, drawing it out, that's a step. You know, okay. Going to buy the guns.
But if you want to talk about it, give us a call here at Jimmy Doan.
That's right. That's the whole point.
1-800-JIMMY-DOAN.
You should always be able to talk about everything. That's your natural right is... If you have the right to think
well,
at all.
Well,
right.
You know, you say that, but it's interesting. Reminds me, if you've got a comment, that you brought up a good point. It's jimmy@jimmydoan.com.
Jimmy.
jimmy@jimmydoan.com.
What's our phone number?
We don't have one yet. Number. We get one. Let me ask you a question. But this brings up another point, and that has to do with hate crimes.
Uh-huh.
Because isn't that just thinking? I mean, aren't they putting another level of punishment on you for what you thought?
Well, there's always been a distinction in the level of intent of the perpetrator. Okay, there's always been a distinction between whether there's a couple of different.
Well, I understand there's negligence.
Well, right, and then above that, there's another standard.
Which is?
In that particular scale, there's actually two scales. There's one that's developed from common law and one that's developed by statute. In the one with negligence, there's what's called there's strict liability, which is below that.
Right.
And then above negligence is carelessness. And then there's recklessness.
Right.
And then above that is intent. And there's specific intent, whether you specifically intended to do something, or there's general intent. Like that is.
I've done all of those.
well, like driving. For
I've been
example.
Reckless. I've had intent. I've had intent to be reckless.
There's an intent.
I've been
called...
carelessly intent on being reckless, and I've certainly been careless reckless.
And I've been specifically intent on being carelessly reckless.
That's right.
And then there's maliciousness as well. Now I'm confusing the two standards here. I've crossed them up. But the bottom, those
and
actually,
you call yourself an attorney?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I tell you,
that's because they don't use the one anymore. We've reverted to using one which is just everybody's strictly liable. No, we reverted until proven
innocent.
In the state of Florida, there's specific intent crimes of which there are 11 of.
Oh Jesus!
I'm just
asking you. Without going into any great, horrible detail here.
Right.
So the hate crime thing is a good thing.
Well,
let's
rephrase that.
For our commercial.
Right.
All right, wait, say that again. And take three. And hate crime is a good thing. JimmyDoan.com.
But they've my always, point is, well, at what point do they get you for,
hate
for
hate
what
hate
you
crimes.
Think?
Right.
In other words, they're not allowed to prosecute you for what you think.
Right. And my answer to your thing is that what you think can be a part of the rest of your crime, but it can't be the crime itself. That is to say,
but what they do, here's the deal though. What they impute, as they say, to use a
word of the day,
that you if you commit a certain kind of crime, they say, well, this is a hate crime. And you say, well, I didn't hate the guy. I mean, just did it,
Yeah, but what you've done is you committed something.
Because he was a black Jew.
All they did is
woman, black Jew, woman, Hispanic.
Don't knock on Sammy Davis like that.
Now, my point is that they've always attached.
And I killed her.
They've always attached a level of intent to whatever crime you committed. If you go rob a bank, or if you beat somebody up, they try to gauge how you felt about it when you were beating them up. And it's the same kind of thing.
I felt good.
Hell yeah.
I was winning.
I was pounding it.
As y'all's lawyers, I'd advise you not to say. I felt really bad. Every time I hit him.
All 16 times I hit him directly in the
and
nose.
And then when I moved him over to the curb so I could beat him into the curb,
I felt even worse.
That's right.
And I really felt bad when I backed my car over.
Twice. And so, there's
one order to back him over twice. I had to run him over front twice. Too,
so. Right. So my point is that's actually no change. All they've done is ramped it up and changed the name a little bit. All they've done is said, well, if it's on these particular people, then if you use these particular words while you're saying it, it works. You know,
you motherfucker.
Yeah,
bashing your mother. Hated. Hey man. He was using bad words when he was beating me, man.
But I wonder.
It's my religion.
Did he actually fuck his mother? I mean, that's what I want to know. But that plays into this.
That's right.
Because I mean, was there a little Oedipus thing here? I mean, is this what we're talking about? Because I mean, if he didn't actually do it, then
I think you could. I think you could handle that problem if it's a problem. That is to say, if there's disproportionate sentencing there. You could handle that by allowing the judges just to have no mandatory minimum on those particular crimes.
Well, the other thing is of course, that brings up another thing as you talk about the sentencing part, and that is, what is this business where they don't tell the jury what the sentence might be? You know, you hear about that all the time where
tell the jury.
Well, I mean, but then the jury gets out and find out, life? For what? For that? Hell, I wouldn't have voted to convict if I'd known it was going away for life.
Yeah, well, that's the way they've gotten around.
OJ.
Yeah, the prosecutors in this country won some victories not terribly long ago, and it got to where you can't tell them what they're probably going to get. You can't tell the jury what the guy's probably going to get. You can – I think you mentioned the range. You can say the range. You can certainly tell them what level of felony it is.
Now, they don't allow attorneys on juries?
Yeah, sure.
They do?
Sure.
Ah, Matlock, and that's okay.
Yeah, no problem. I mean, what usually happens is the attorneys who are picking the juries
they
vote you off.
I wonder why.
Man.
We don't want anybody on there that knows what they're doing.
Well,
hell no.
It's not that. It's usually that whoever the attorney, if there's an attorney on the jury, they're afraid the attorney's going to take over the whole thing.
Yeah, and?
Well, and I've left attorneys on my juries.
Have you?
Sure.
Really?
Sure.
Well, of course, you're a defense attorney.
Right?
Right.
But it's something I would expect from the prosecution, because usually...
That was great.
Usually your trials are pretty weak, and an attorney on the jury can figure out what the weaknesses are in your case.
He's thinking, man, how can we beat this? What a trip.
Can we hear some music?
Yep.
What do we got, though?
We sure can.
Do do ba dee dee do do.
JimmyDone.com. Come on back. This is a good one. August 7th. Have fun.
1-800-JIMMY-DONE.
That's it. Well, Jimmy at JimmyDone.com. See you guys later. Bye-bye.